If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Hey everyone, Seth Meyers here. Before the show, I want to let you know that on Friday, we're releasing a brand new episode of the Late Night Podcast Summer Fridays. These special episodes contain fully exclusive content produced just for the podcast. You'll hear original comedy sketches, summer reading recommendations, and I'll be talking to some of our favorite guests in exclusive long-form interviews. Look out for a new episode on Friday, July 6th.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Happy Independence Day, Americans. In honor of the holiday, we have a very special message from someone you may recognize. After that, listen to Seth's interview with Paul Rudd, who keeps the conversation going backstage just for this podcast. Now, let's hear a word about the 4th of July.
And now it's time for President Donald J. Trump's salute to America's independence. The Boston Tea Party was a big party in Boston, Massachusetts, where American patriots threw a bunch of tea in the river. Because we all know that Americans don't drink tea, they drink coffee and Diet Coke. It's the best drink. Patrick Henry famously tweeted, "Give me liberty or give me death." That was a long time ago, way before they gave you 280 characters. Had he had more characters, he probably would have added something like, "Give me a hamburger." Benedict Arnold is one of my favorite breakfasts. I have it every time I eat at Trump Tower Bar and Grill, one of the highest end restaurants in a tower in New York City. I don't know much about King George, but I do like the way King sounds. I'm going to see if they can change my title. King Donald has a very nice ring to it. The Founding Fathers were a bunch of great, great men, but they had really bad hair. If you're the president, you need to have good hair that doesn't in any way look like a wig. Paul Revere is the Speaker of the House. He rode his horse warning everyone, "The British are coming, the British are coming." But it was very hard for Speaker of the House Paul Revere because he does not have a spine. So he constantly was sort of falling out of the saddle. The Declaration of Independence was signed by our Founding Fathers in 1776, but their signatures were all boring and sad. Next year, we will celebrate on the 4th of July with tremendous fireworks and a huge military parade, and I'll be the Grand Marshal and get to ride in a fire truck.
Guest tonight from his work in such films as This Is 40 and Anchorman, he returns to the Marvel Universe in the highly anticipated Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is in theaters and IMAX July 6th. Please welcome back to the show, Paul Rudd, everybody! I'm so happy you're here.
Hey! Wow, they really turned on those signs.
Yeah. Brand new signs.
Oh, they work.
I want to talk about Ant-Man because I'm very excited about this. But I've known you for a long time. I feel like I know a lot of things about you. Mm-hmm. I did not know this, that you are a co-owner of a candy shop.
Yes.
This is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I am co-owner of a candy store called Samuel's Sweet Shop in Rhinebeck, New York.
Okay.
And I own this candy store with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Who's a fantastic actor.
Great actor. Plays Negan on The
Walking Dead, yeah.
And another guy named Andy Ostroy. We all kind of live around there, and I brought you some things.
Okay. I'm so excited.
So we have lots of old...
Old candy.
Kind of fun.
Great.
Candy. And then there's a woman named Donna Weber who makes these treats for us. And she'll sometimes put, like, my face on a Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah, over there.
Or Jeff on a Rice Krispie treat.
Okay, there you go. So there you go. There's Jeffrey. All right, so...
And then there's Andy, who you can see... He's not really famous. He's just the other guy.
Okay, go over there. Yeah.
Says these.
All right. So, okay.
And they don't really sell that much, so I brought you a bunch of Andes.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And you can tell. Here, give it a shot. Andy is delicious.
Yeah, there you go. Now, do people, when they first see it, because he's next to you and Jeffrey, do they go... What's he in? They must assume he's an actor.
I don't know. But...
Is he delicious?
He's delicious.
Now, quality-wise...
I'm going to take a bite out of Andy and a sip out of you.
Out of her way. Thank you so much. So, this is your second Ant-Man film. Where does this one pick up?
Well... After, now I've got Andy caught in my teeth.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
I'll keep that joke going. It picks up, I'm under house arrest because if you remember at the end of Civil War, all the Avengers are fighting and then I get caught and I get put under house arrest.
Right.
That is why I'm not in Infinity War. People have asked me.
Because your character was under house arrest. And they couldn't plot you out of house arrest? And all the things that they figure ways out of in the Marvel Universe?
Well, no, he's got to stay inside. But, yes, I'm under house arrest, and I've kind of put Hank and Hope, they're not talking to me. We're a little bit at odds.
So this is interesting, because you co-wrote this script.
Right.
Now, I've had a lot of people who are stars of the Marvel films here, and a lot of times they are limited by, of course, what they can say, and also they're limited by design as far as knowing what's going to happen next in the universe. Did you have to get more information than most of them because you were actually working on a script?
Yeah, and it's terrifying to know this, to have these secrets, to know some of these things. I feel a lot of pressure, but I also feel very privileged because I knew about that Infinity War before it was going to happen.
You knew you weren't going to be in it.
I knew. By the way, people say, "Hey, when Infinity War," I go, "I guess we'll see." It's like, I know I'm not in it. However, people have asked me about this one, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'll say it. It happens kind of concurrently.
Got it.
And it's very important because it doesn't exist in a vacuum. You have to stay through the end because when you see this thing through those post-credit scenes. There's some mind-blowing stuff in there that kind of ties into Infinity War, and it's, I think I messed up.
You think about it?
Well,
I think... I don't know how that could mess up, though, because I would only think that would make more people see the movie, which I feel like is the end game.
You know what? You're right.
Are your kids are 13 and 8?
Yep.
Are they Ant-Man fans? Were they excited when you started doing this?
They are. They've really gotten into the whole Marvel world, and my son has gone through and watched all the movies. Now my daughter, who's 8, loves it, and she's going back. And some of these are inappropriate, I'm finding out. There's like a little, she's a little young for them, but I've been showing inappropriate films to my kids for many years.
Oh, that's interesting, because now, obviously my kids are even pre-film at all, but... Like, when do you worry about what your current taste is versus what your age-appropriate taste of your kids?
I've made these mistakes, and I kind of... When my son was about 4, I said, oh, you've got to see The Jerk, Steve Martin. We're watching together, and he's laughing. And and then you get to some scenes, and this is really rated R.
Yeah.
But then he watched it anyway. And then when he was about 7 or 8, I didn't think about it, but I said, oh, you know what's really funny is Step Brothers. And then we watched that, and then we showed it to my daughter, and then it gets to the scene with Will Ferrell and the drum set, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is in there. And then I showed Faces of Death to my daughter, which is not a good... Yeah.
You just had a... There's a charity event that a bunch of you Kansas City guys do. You, Sudeikis, Riggle, Koechner.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm forgetting some.
Eric Stone Street, David Koechner, Jason Sudeikis. You said all these people.
I think I missed Stone Street.
Oh, Stone Street, yeah.
But it's in KC. It's a fundraiser.
Yeah, for Children's Mercy Hospital. And we just had it a few weeks ago.
And I know it started as a poker tournament that then you couldn't do because of gambling laws, right?
Yeah, it's called the Big Slick, which is a poker term. But we don't play any poker in it whatsoever.
You play bowl? You bowled?
We play a game of softball at Royal Stadium. Then we have a bowling tournament, which you bowl with some of the kids and some sponsors.
Are you a good bowler?
I'm okay. But I always thought, like, bowling is something you don't want to be... You want to be good, but you don't want to be that good.
Right. I agree with that.
You know, because then you have to explain why you're really good at bowling.
Yeah.
You know, you own the wrist guard or...
If you bowled a 280, I would say, tell me everything about your upbringing.
So my goal is to get over 100.
Okay, that's good. Did you do that this weekend?
I did.
Okay, good. Yeah. You broke 100.
I broke 100.
Well, that's great, man. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. thank you so much for being here. Thanks for the candy and the cookies. It's always so good to see you, buddy.
It's great to see you, too.
All right, everybody. Ant-Man and the Wasp in theaters at IMAX July 6th.
Hey, this is Kevin. We are backstage with Paul Rudd. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Kevin.
Congrats on Ant-Man. Thanks for sticking around to do the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Florence Welch is on the show, and you hosted SNL 3 times. She wasn't the musical guest when you were there, but you had some huge musical guests the 3 times you hosted on the show.
Yeah. The very first time I ever hosted, Beyonce was the musical guest. Mm-hmm. The second time I hosted the show, Paul McCartney was the musical guest.
Yeah.
And the third time, One Direction was the musical guest. That's a trifecta. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, it really was amazing.
And
I'll never forget when I was hosting the second show, they hadn't booked the musical guest yet. And it was about 1 a.m, and my phone rang, it was Bill Hader, and he said, "Dude, your musical guest is Paul McCartney," and I jumped out of bed. I was so excited, and I didn't go back to sleep. I couldn't believe it. I'm such a Beatles fanatic. What a thrill.
You and Florence, you were in a sketch together.
Yeah. We actually, she was the musical guest when Jason Segel was hosting. Mm-hmm. And I did a sketch on that show. And then I did a second sketch with Florence. We were, I think it was the Blue Jean Committee, which was the very first appearance of the Blue Jean Committee, who then went on in Documentary Now.
It's one of those late in the show.
Nearing the end of the night, and there were some Muppets in the sketch, and Florence and I were at the Blue Jean Committee show in a bar.
Yeah, it makes sense that you guys would be there.
Yeah, it makes total sense with Muppets.
I was reading that you had some pseudonyms when you first started acting. A lot of times actors, their names that they want to go by won't be available for whatever reason. There's somebody else in SAG or
that's
AFTRA.
That's right, yeah.
You went by the name Kenny Chin.
Yeah, I did these were things nobody would have seen, but they were more like industrials in these little movies, kind of, I don't even know where they would go, but they existed. And still do somewhere. But I went by Kenny Chin, which was strictly for my friends back in college because a couple of buddies of mine had stolen a big ceramic clown from a miniature golf course. Uh-huh. And we named him Kenny Chin. And we would put him in all kinds of places all over Lawrence, Kansas, and had it for years. That's where that came from.
Was there a point where you ever thought, this is the name I'm sticking with, or I'll go back to
I knew I would never stick with Kenny Chin. It was really just these were some of the first jobs I got, and I just wanted my friends to see it and then see that Kenny Chin was actually in the industrial film A Question of Ethics. And they did. And they I think they enjoyed the fact that Kenny was now Taft Hartley'd and on his way to becoming a full-fledged member of SAG.
I feel like we should look on YouTube to see if those are available anywhere.
I really hope they are. Yeah. They're so... I didn't even realize this. Midway through filming one of them, we filmed this scene, and they said, that's great. We just have this this kind of... some alternative dialogue. We wanted to just film, and they gave me these other lines... And they were all about being saved, and it was all of this born again. Like I knew I was I was destined to go to hell until I gave my life to Jesus, and I was like, hold on, what? And I said, I don't want to say this. And they said, well, you know, part of the money that's we're being funded is by this church, and I said, well. Yeah, but you never told me that. I thought I was just doing this thing that says, like, don't cheat on your tests in school or something. And they said, well, you got to do this. And I said, well, no, I don't. And then I walked. Yeah. They actually said, well, you know, you'll never work in this town again. I actually got – somebody actually
no.
– someone in so many words actually kind of said that to me. They were really getting nervous because they realized I wasn't going to say it. And then they got mad, and then they got somebody else to do it. And then I think that was it.
And Kenny Chin to this day has a reputation of being very difficult.
Kenny Chin never worked again. They were right. Yeah. Kenny Chin never worked in that town again.
That's right. Now you go by Paul Rudd.
Don't tell those guys. I don't want them to find out.
That we have some small rewrites here on the set of this industrial film.
Yeah, they're going, that was good. Here, so this is another one. We won't really use this, but we just want to have ourselves covered for this. I'm like, well, that's... That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. So congrats on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I think it's kind of a blast.
Yeah,
and,
it's really funny.
It's really funny, and it's a nice palate cleanser, I think, from Infinity War. Everybody got so kind of emotionally destroyed over Infinity War, and then all of a sudden there's kind of summer laughs and all this. But it actually ties into Infinity War in a very substantial way.
Right.
And it's all kind of part of the same universe. So it's cool to be a part of, and it's a fun movie.
Yeah. And you will be in the next Infinity War?
I believe I will probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Paul, thanks so much for sticking around.
Thank you so much.
Really
I appreciate
your time.
It.
Look for Kenny Chin on YouTube.
Somewhere.
Somewhere. Thanks, Paul.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.